Chapter 76. Jimmy the Parrot lit a cigarette and took a long drag on it. It was the third he'd lit since they had parked their SUV at the London heliport. They had been there since 7:45, which was 45 minutes after the heliport officially opened. But the office they were waiting for had a sign in its glass door saying that they were open from 8 a.m. until 9 p.m.
"At least open the window," growled Sean O'Rourke in the back seat.
Pat Walsh pressed the button to open the front passenger window.
"It's a fucking disgusting habit," he said.
"It relaxes me," said Jimmy.
"But it's fucking winding me up," said O'Rourke.
He opened his window, and the wind blowing off the Thames ruffled his hair. The heliport was on the south bank of the Thames, between Wandsworth Bridge and Battersea Railway Bridge. The site was small, and the helicopters using it landed on a jetty that protruded into the river. The office they were waiting for offered chartered flights and sightseeing tours. Parked near to the office were two Eurocopter AS-350 Squirrel helicopters. The heliport was surrounded by high-rise buildings and cranes, but the jetty meant that landings were relatively simple.
"Here we go,"
said Jimmy, nodding at a white Honda Civic with the name of the helicopter firm on the side as it turned into the parking area. A middle-aged blonde woman in a beige raincoat with a large bag on one shoulder climbed out and walked to the office, a mobile phone pressed against her ear. She continued to talk on the phone as she unlocked the door and went inside.
"Right, so Pat and I will go and do the talking," said O'Rourke. "You keep an eye on things out here."
Jimmy blew a plume of smoke.
"Sounds good."
"Send Marty a sit-rep text," said O'Rourke as he opened the door.
He and Walsh climbed out and walked over to the office. The blonde woman had taken off her coat and was slotting a pod into a coffee machine. She flashed them a beaming smile as they walked up to the counter.
"Good morning, gentlemen. How can I help you?"
"We'd like to book a sightseeing trip," said O'Rourke.
"That's what we do," said the woman, flipping open a ledger. "What day were you thinking of?"
"Today," said O'Rourke.
"In fact, the sooner the better." "Oh my gosh, we're booked up all this week," said the woman. "Our first flight leaves in an hour, and then we're booked right through until this evening."
She ran her finger down the ledger.
"The earliest I could book you in would be next Tuesday, in the afternoon."
"That's too late for us," said O'Rourke. "To be honest, it's more of a business matter. We're in the property business and want to look at some sights from the air."
"Ah, then a sightseeing trip really isn't what you want," said the woman. "Our trips stay over the river. We have a 20-minute or 30-minute version and you get to see all the sights. It sounds as if you need a charter. Whereabouts are you interested in looking?"
"Northwest London."
"Ah, well, you have to be careful there because you have Heathrow Airport, so there is a lot of restricted airspace. What I'd suggest is that you sit down with one of our pilots and see if there's a flight plan that he could file."
"It's possible, then?"
"It should be, yes,"
she grinned, "but I'm not a pilot."
The door opened and a young man in a dark blazer and light blue trousers came in carrying a large flight bag.
"But Daniel here is."
The young man grinned.
"Daniel Chadwick at your service," he said. "Are you my 9 o'clock tour? You're a bit early."
He was in his mid-twenties with ginger hair and freckles over his nose and cheeks. He'd cut himself shaving, and there were two small pieces of tissue stuck to cuts on his chin.
"These gentlemen would like to talk to you about a charter," said the woman.
Walsh pulled his gun from his holster and pointed it at the woman.
"We'd like to do more than talk," he said.
The pilot opened his mouth to protest, but O'Rourke pulled out his gun and pointed it at the man's stomach.
"Trust me, Daniel, there is nothing you can say that will change the outcome of what's about to happen. Put the bag on the floor, kneel down, and put your hands behind your head."
The pilot obeyed.
"There's no need for anyone to get hurt," he said.
O'Rourke grinned.
"That's exactly what I was going to say," he said.
O'Rourke walked over to the glass door and waved to attract Jimmy the Parrot's attention. Then he flicked the open sign around so that it read closed and pulled the bolt across. There was another door behind the counter, leading to an internal room. O'Rourke gestured with his gun.
"Right. Leave your bag where it is, Daniel.
stand up with your hands behind your head, and walk to the room over there.
You too, Walsh said to the woman. What's your name?
Tracy.
Well, Tracy, providing you do exactly as we say, you'll be fine. We're not here to hurt you. We just need to borrow a helicopter.
You can't, began the pilot, but he was silenced by a wave of O'Rourke's gun. He stood up and O'Rourke took him behind the counter. Walsh opened the door. It led to a windowless storeroom with shelving containing boxes of spare parts, uniforms, and aviation equipment and books.
Right, both of you down on your knees, hands behind your head, said Walsh.
His captives obeyed. He covered them with his gun as O'Rourke went back into the office and opened the door for Jimmy the para.
Okay,
asked Jimmy. He was carrying his holdall.
Ah, good, said O'Rourke.
He relocked the door and followed Jimmy through to the storeroom, picking up the pilot's flight case on the way.
Can I say something?
Said the pilot, looking up at them fearfully.
Sure, go ahead, said Walsh. Just keep it short. We've got work to do.
You can't just borrow a helicopter, said the pilot. There are rules and regulations that have to be followed. You have to be in contact with air traffic control. There are places you aren't allowed to fly. You have to file flight plans, and you can't deviate from those flight plans. If you do, they'll scramble jets. After 9/11, no one takes chances anymore.
Jets fly at 500 miles an hour. Helicopters hover, said Walsh.
What are they going to do?
Keep flying by.
They'll shoot you out of the sky, said Chadwick.
I seriously doubt that an RAF jet is going to shoot down an unarmed sightseeing helicopter over London, said Walsh. But you'd better hope that they don't, because you'll be at the controls.
This is madness, said Chadwick.
No, it's well planned, said Walsh. We'll keep low, very low. By the time air traffic control realises there's a problem, we'll be finished.
Where do you want to go?
We'll tell you when we're on board, said Walsh. Are you married, Daniel?
The pilot nodded.
Kids?
A boy, 2 years old.
Well, you do exactly as we say, and you'll be able to tell them all about your little adventure when you get home tonight. Okay?
The pilot nodded. Jimmy the para took a roll of grey duct tape from his holdall and used it to bind Tracy's wrists and ankles, then slapped a piece across her mouth. He stood up and nodded at O'Rourke and Walsh.
Right, we're good to go, he said.